All right, our agenda is here. Brian is scribing. Thank you, Brian. On the agenda today, we're basically running down. We're in kind of a working groove. Every week, we're going to be discussing. We're going to do an update for everything that we're working on. So today we're doing a quick update on recruiting, glossary document, vision document, roadmap, use cases, and capabilities. The hope is that the editors and authors of each one of these documents are going to be making iterative progress every week. And if we hit a week where not much is happening, we need to figure out why and fix it so that we can continue to make good progress on these documents. I've got a 501 area code. Who is that?
Hey, Mano, it's Matt Stone.
Hey, Matt. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Okay. Any updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else we should discuss today? Okay, if not, let's go ahead and jump into our first topic, which is recruiting. We do have some good updates on recruiting. I'm trying to, unfortunately, I have to find the recruiting status document. Give me a second. So the good news here is that we have a number of new folks that responded to the recruiting drive. So Eric Korb sent out a number of emails last week and the week before. And let me here's the link. The link's not for the minutes. It's just for folks on the call. So we have 29 affirmatives now, which is good. That's a strong feedback, and those are folks that we haven't really been working on. We have another 30 that are kind of in the pipeline. So that's good. So good, in fact, that W3C has now kicked off internal discussions because we got the number above 25. They are now having discussions on what the next steps are. Should they do something at TPAC? Should we do a separate workshop outside of TPAC? So that is now being driven by not one but two staff contacts. Last week I mentioned that we may get some help with one staff contact, but now two staff contacts are pushing that pretty heavily inside W3C. We are hitting some friction when it comes to the security folks. The security folks are very concerned about there being a mechanism for identifying people on the web. As we've discussed before in this group, we don't want our solution to make matters worse, but the security community seems to be pretending as if the email address does not exist. The way that people are tracked online today is through things like permacookies, Google tracking cookies, and your email address. That is the one identifier that links you together across multiple websites. So we are kind of coming to a head. There's going to be a point at which we need to have a debate with the security folks that are really fighting hard against the credential stuff internally to try and, one, make them understand that we actually do care a lot about privacy and want to, you know, protect anonymity on the web. But two, you know, we need to also hold their feet to the fire make folks understand that it's not as if people are not being tracked online today. So we're trying to, they're working internally in W3C to surface these concerns, and once they're surfaced, we can then have a discussion about it more publicly. Okay, so as of last week, I think we have a number of new folks, so let me go down the list. Badge Alliance, Nate has verified that Badge Alliance will be joining, so that's really great. We have Citrix has signed up. DQ Systems, which is really a accessibility group, but John Folliott is an ex-JP Morgan Chase person, so he's from the JP Morgan Chase side of things. We have a yes from ETS. We have a yes from Pearson officially, which is great. Indiana University has said definitely. Ingenico has said yes definitively. The National Association of Convenience Stores and Conexus has said yes. Let's see who else. Versus. Versus has an affirmative, strong affirmative. So all that's great. So we still have folks kind of working on the other folks. Eric and Richard and John are working on recruiting some other folks, but we're in pretty good shape as far as the recruiting numbers are concerned. We have two new callers, 908 area code. Who's that?
It's Eric.
Okay, and then 508 area code.
Jim Goodell.
Hey, Jim.
Greetings.
Okay, so recruiting, we're at 29 affirmatives. The low bar was 24-ish. So we've passed the bar. It's being discussed at W3C. So we're doing fairly well in the recruiting front. We need a big fish for W3C, a big new member. So we have a bunch of small new members that are joining, but they would like to see a new multi-billion dollar organization join specifically because of this work. Okay, Eric, any updates on recruiting?
No, none of the ones that you've already given up updates to, but I mean, I continue to get responses to my email that people are coming in and voting. So apparently a lot of them did not get the first reach out from you, unfortunately, because I think and all of them are say it was their fault. It got stuck in spam or something like that. So it was good that we pushed another push. So I can do it again, and I am looking for, I don't know if I can find a $1 billion company, but you know, there are some bigger companies. I mean, if Parchment comes on board or somebody like that, I think that's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean that would be very difficult for W3C to ignore. So yes, bringing someone like that on board would do it. So
and
yeah, when I say $1 billion, I mean like, you know, above, I think it has to be above $100 million a year in revenues. So I should have said $100 million a year company.
I'm trying to get National Student Clearinghouse.
Yep. So either one of those would.
I'm profit. I don't know how that works, but.
Say again.
You're a nonprofit.
Nonprofits don't count, unfortunately. Nonprofits come in at a $8,000 a year rate at W3C, and it's just, you know, while it's interesting and important for them to have nonprofits, I don't think it's from a funding perspective, it's hard for them to justify the work if it's just a couple of nonprofits. Now, the official stance of W3C is it doesn't matter how big the member is, but let's be honest, they need to have enough money to fund the work. So that's why they look for big members.
Be going in the notes?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine for it to go in the notes. I mean, it's let me try and figure out how to put this politically. W3C is clear about what their official position is. I don't believe them for a second. Don't put that in the minutes. But but yeah, it's it's this weird nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know, every one of our members is important, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But, you know, some members pay more than others, and they're larger, and they can deploy more widely. So they care about deployment numbers, and they care about, you know, the amount of money that's backing this stuff. Here's the other thing, you know, and Matt, this is specifically directed at you, and I don't think Richard's on the phone today, but Richard as well. If you went to W3C and you said, listen, this is incredibly important for us, and we want to see this work started, this is a big deal for us, they would listen. And so that hasn't happened yet. The large companies that are W3C members have not approached W3C and played hardball with them yet. I don't think that we're there yet, but I'm fairly confident that if ETS and Pearson both went to a W3C and said, this is incredibly important to us, why aren't you guys, why are you dragging your feet on this, they would listen to you. So just a heads up, Matt, and then we'll want to relay that to Richard, Eric.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, say that again?
Is that a friendly nudge-nudge?
Yes, a friendly nudge-nudge, wink-wink. there's a lot of that going on these days. But that's what it takes to get this stuff started. So we're in a much better position than we were a month and a half ago. There are also people in the web payments group that are complaining that because of the tack that the web payments group took at the face-to-face around identity and credentials, a bunch of members are wanting to do things like talk about financial services for the poor, and the people that the financial organizations that want the credential stuff to happen have been pushing back and saying, well, that'd be great if we could work on it, but guess what, there's a huge credentialing component to it, and since you said that you didn't want to work on it, we can't do anything, you have tied our hands now. And so there's a bit of pushback now in the web payments group. It's kind of coming back to bite them. So that's good. So anyway, the recruiting stuff's going well, and internally W3C is pursuing it more aggressively than they were a month ago. Okay, anything else on recruiting before we jump on to the next topic?
Hey, Manu, this is Nate. Sorry, I just jumped in. I assume you got my email from last Friday?
I did, and I'm in the process of responding to it. Well, which email?
Oh, I think I just sent you one. I don't know. That I was able... I'm basically able to put the Badge Alliance support behind this as a small nonprofit organization. Concentric Sky is concerned about just basically adding another $8,000 a year expense to our list, but we do generally support the initiative.
Right. Okay. Great. And in my response, I'll hopefully finish off the email later on today. Remember that if you're a new W3C member, it's only $2,000 a year. So
I thought that only applied to groups of 10 persons or less.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah, I don't know how big
sure
Concentric Sky is.
Yeah,
they
we're
changed
55,
some of those.
60.
Okay, all right. So that would change. That would definitely not allow you to do that, I don't think. Okay, all right. I'll try and respond to the rest of that email today.
Yeah, and then I reached out to a couple of the international organizations, and they... weren't quite sure what to do. Also, I think they're also a little bit concerned about money. Most of the badging organizations out there are pretty low budget operations at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the hang up at this point. I think we have enough people saying yes. Now the question is that of funding and making sure that W3C can hire a new staff contact to run the work. So yeah. Okay. Anything else on recruiting? And thanks, Nate. That's fantastic news that Badge Alliance is going to be able to join the work.
So could they just go through the process of just filling out the form so I at least I can then update it and have it and I'm just keeping a tally on my end. Nate, is that a, would that be a problem?
Sure. So would it be helpful to have organizations that are in this, you know, concerned about the money situation to fill out the form? I think there was a spot on the form.
There's no financial
to that answer
whatsoever by filling out the form. All we're trying to do is generate interest. And
right,
then,
yeah, I just wanted to know what sort of response would be the most helpful to you.
Everyone that we can get.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you can have them fill out the form and say, we'd love to join, but the money's an issue, that's great feedback. You know, we support the work, we'd love to join, but the money's an issue. That's great feedback. We can take that to W3C.
Cool.
Okay. And as far as keeping track, Eric, I updated the recruiting spreadsheet based on the latest, latest comments.
The form or the spreadsheet?
The spreadsheet. Okay. And the form auto-updates itself. The spreadsheet, you have to kind of move things over.
Okay. I was going to do that last night. I ran into a little bit of a computer problem.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to glossary. And our glossary document is here. Eric, you raised the point that we have a number of glossary terms that are pretty old, and I think this is primarily because I think Greg took Greg took what we had and moved it over, but what we had in the document was a bit out of date. So. Eric, I think you've been going through and creating a parallel glossary and doing a great job at it, so I think we're going to want to move that over to the glossary document. Would you mind giving us a bit of an update on the glossary you're working on?
Sure. So as we are starting to talk to people about this more on a commercial level, we're trying to come up with terms that are generic for everybody that they can understand. And I've been pointing to the glossary, and when we get there, there was some missing elements of things that we are so down in the weeds, we talk about them in a conversational mode as if everybody should understand what we're talking about. So what we're trying to do is differentiate different kinds of words in our glossary. So those that are more conversational, such as the term issuer, for example. Issuer is not a technical term, it's more of a conversational term. It refers to the person who issues a credential, but it's not necessarily something that's part of the spec. It's not something that I would think, maybe it is required to have an issuer, but there is no technical definition that's required in it that describes issuer in a context, if you will. So those are the kinds of things we're trying to differentiate. Whereas something like the word context is an actual class inside of the definition of the spec, and the context variable in JSON-LD has a very definitive explanation and definition and requirement. So those are the things that I'm trying to do. Those that are conversational versus those that are technical specifications. And I think the sentiment that Manu has communicated to me is that we should just have it all in one big glossary. What I was trying to do was break them apart, say these are conversational versus these are technical, and it got very difficult to do that. So I think I'm agreeing with Manu, unless anybody has any better ideas on this. So that's what I'm trying to do. Welcome to any feedback on it. Anybody who may have gone through the process before would be helpful.
Yeah, I think anytime there is a term which is used within a document, whether it has a hard technical meaning or even informal, create some piece of terminology for it. Now, it might be that we want to split this section into a couple of parts for that case. So if within a spec we do say something such as issuer, then it's good that that term be highlighted and linked so that it's clear that every place we use the word issuer, we mean the same thing. Even if an issuer does not play is not a hard technical term.
Yeah, words like this have
the docs allow
us
hyperlinking lets us do that, which is great.
Yeah, well, and moreover, Respec has a particular feature that is what we're leveraging for this glossary, so we can define aliases for it, and then when those aliases are used, they're basically used in an empty anchor, and that's what creates all of the interlinking and term definitions. So, yeah, I think we want to leverage that thing. It's just that we might want to break the where it's used within the glossary document and other documents into sections. You know, those for normative terms, say, and those for informative terms, or something like that.
Matt, I think you were saying something as well.
Well, this one term itself, you know, is really easy to conflate from a technology perspective and from sort of a conversational perspective. And there's probably a dozen other terms that we struggle with internally, from governing body to owner to the alliance or whatever that is the subject matter owner that is conferring the credential versus the system that is actually issuing the credential. And, you know, if you've outsourced it to a service provider, for example, which one is the issuer? And I think it probably bears some live discussion on some of these topics to really put a fine tip of a mark on what these terms really mean and what we're implying when we use them.
Yep, agreed. So we've gone through this exercise in the web payments work, as most of you know, the payments ecosystem is fantastically complicated, and there are multiple standard-setting organizations with multiple definitions for the same words. And so it's been a challenge to get everyone on the same page as far as a glossary is concerned. But what we did find out was that you shouldn't split the glossary into two different things. They are the words that you use to talk about the problem space, and you know, whether they're normative or informative, we basically made every single one of those definitions normative, because once you do that, you know, if someone starts saying, well, I thought an issuer was, you know, X, Y, and Z, you say, no, you know, per the definition in this group, this is exactly what we're talking about when we say issuer. And you can look up the definition, and there's a very clear, you know, understanding of what that term means. So my preference would be to just have one glossary with a set of terms. All of them are normative terms. And then when we talk about things, whether it's in an informative document or whether it's in an actual specification, you know, technical specification, we use the same terminology so that there's no confusion across all those documents. And what Greg has done a couple of weeks ago is create this glossary that is programmatically automatically included into all of the documents that we're working on. So we don't have to think about syncing the glossary between all the documents we're working on. It's just there. And if we use a term like issuer or recipient in the document, the glossary will automatically include that term along with the definition and all of that stuff. So we're set up. I think we're set up from a technical perspective, we're set up to include this glossary in all of the documents already. We just need to go in and hammer out the terminology. So I think what I'd suggest is that Eric finishes a first pass on the glossary he's working on. And that glossary kind of came from the previous glossary we had in this group. And we take all of the more general terms and move them into the credentials CG glossary. and that becomes our glossary. Then we can kind of bike shed all the definitions. We can get reviews on them. People can say, yes, I agree with this, or no, this term needs to be expanded a bit more. But again, I think the proposal is Eric finishes the work that he's got on his glossary. We move it in to our glossary, and then we have a couple of people review it here. Would there be any disagreement on going that direction? Would anybody object to us trying that out to doing the second pass on the glossary?
I would, before we, sorry, crickets, I was slow to respond on mute. Eric, if you're on the call, maybe you and I could spend a half an hour sometime in the next couple of days running through the doc. I can't seem to find the Hangout or the Google Doc version of the glossary where we can edit and comment. But I'd like to actually have a live discussion about it anyway.
Hey, I welcome the opportunity. I'm working on it privately. The document that John put in place, Greg put in place is actually, I don't have access to Reddit. So I think what our role, our job will be, I'll share the document with you, and then I will, we'll give it to someone to put into Reddit, I guess Greg or whoever is managing that.
Sorry, who's commenting about working with Eric?
This is Matt Stone.
Okay, sorry, Matt.
Yeah, Respec is the tool we use, and it basically just uses HTML files that use some specific formatting tools, all looking for the term definition. So this is the raw source for the term definitions that we use, which is it gets included.
Yeah. So, Eric, if you and Matt collaborate that over the next couple of days, and ping us when you think it's ready to be moved over, either Greg or myself can move it over pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'll take care of doing that. If there's any specific instructions on term usage within the other documents that we have there, let me know. We can either just add the new terms and then remove the old terms as they are replaced, or try to do it all at once. And I can spend plenty of time on that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Greg. Okay, Eric, do you think that you're going to be able to just be done with the pass that you're currently doing on that document by close to the end of this week?
Yeah, likely by our next meeting, yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll,
well,
I'll,
if you could get it done a day or two before, we could get it in for the next meeting.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't want to overpromise.
Got it.
But I will definitely try to get, as you know, that document menu, it's got some other terms in it that I've got to now filter out. So
yep.
That's just going to take a little bit of time.
Okay. Okay, anything else on the glossary before we move on? All right, next up is the vision document. And if I remember correctly, last week, Eric, you said that you wanted to spend a decent bit of time looking over the vision and talking about it,
mm-hmm.
or just talking about the vision document in general.
Sure.
You still want to do that?
Well, I think it needs the same kind of treatment as that we just talked about the glossary. Whether we do it, preferably during this call, probably not the best use of time, but we probably should set up a call for those people who want to contribute to it to actually have maybe a mini 15 to 30 minute kind of conversation and let people start to dive in and edit on it. So I think that would be the best use of our time, given we only have a short hour. We could probably, have several meetings with a team who wants to work vision doc. So maybe if we could just get a list of all the, I know we had a list, I can't remember if it was documented in the minutes, of all those who want to contribute. I want to make sure that everybody's got edit rights onto that file, and then what I'll do is I'll take the initiative to set up a quick another meeting, an offline meeting, so that we could start diving into it and making edits. But there was some, what I was doing, just for those who are observing the document, the places where I'm putting question mark at the end of things, I'm saying, you know, I don't want to be the only person who makes this decision. I think we need to talk about these terms or words.
And this is Stan. I think we ought to kick off in a really collaborative way on this document. That the copy from Web Payments gave us sort of a structure, but I think it's almost distracting from getting good content in it on this topic of open credentials. I think the executive summary in the charter that we had before has some really good content in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been kind of hesitant to just start whacking and replacing big blocks of text without, you know, having us all kind of on the same page.
Yeah, I felt the same frustration.
Okay,
I'm sorry, was that Scott?
That was Matt.
Matt again.
Stone.
Okay, sorry.
Stone.
Stone, sorry.
So here's what I suggest. I don't think that there has been that much updates on roadmap use cases or capabilities over the past week. So unless somebody has updates to those documents, that means that we could probably end the call now. But since we're all on the call, we may want to discuss the vision document. So, you know, Eric, while I think it would be a good idea to do an offline call if we were really, really busy with other stuff, I think this is a week where we're not. So would you be okay with having the vision document discussion now and just
Sure.
using the rest of the time on the call to do that?
Be happy to.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Matt, to respond to what you just said, I think you should feel free to just hack away at the document. I mean, basically, you know, deleting everything, all the major content in Section 2, I think is fine. The only reason I think we kept it in there for now is to see if that prompted any thoughts on the matter. Let me find the executive summary for open credentials.
So I have Greg Kellogg, Manu, Matt collaborating on this.
So if we look at the goals section for the executive summary, I think many of those could translate over to the vision document. So for example, you know, when we're talking vision, we want the system to be interoperable. We want the credentials to be portable. We clearly want the system to scale, although I think that is covered by just the, you know, the We Believe in Web Principles opening for the vision document. So let me cover that a bit. The document, in at least the Web Payments group, we ended up having this fairly large vision document that more or less sounded like the web. We said we want this system to scale to billions of people, and we want it to be this international thing, and we want it to be a communication network where you can send messages, and it's the web. That's just the core definition of the web. So rather than reiterate that stuff, we said we believe that the system should be built on web principles, such as scale. You know, it scales, it's accessible to all, it's accessible to people with disabilities, and you know, all of those things. And that allowed us to condense a large portion of the document down into one section, which basically says we're building this on top of the web and the internet. And then that let us then elaborate a bit more about the things that were specific to the area that we were discussing. So it was payments in that case, but in the case of credentials, we can talk about, you know, the verifiability of a credential, whether or not a credential, you know, enhances privacy, you know, whether it's recipient controlled or issuer controlled, how extensible is the credential, what kind of information can you put in it. So those types of things might be things that we want to elaborate on in the vision. So here's a question for the group. Do we want to take the kind of the goals that we have in the executive summary and move them into the vision document in some way? Would that be a good first cut at trying to get at the at a first draft for the vision document?
So I think I hear what you're saying, and I think we do need to do a little bit of merge. I think maybe what would be helpful, Manu, is to perhaps, I don't know who authored this original document, would be to, I would like to know what are the elements that are critical, what are the things that are required, what things can we throw out that were just there because you had it in the web payments group and you just don't have it here yet. So that to me was some of my bigger questions. You know, we need an abstract status of this document, but what are the things? What are the things that are required? You feel, and then does this supplant the executive summary going forward?
I don't think it supplants the executive summary. At least not yet. So let me. I'm going to go in and light item delete. The things that I think we can cut out. So I'm in section 2.2 and 2.1, and I'm just removing that stuff.
Also, note that status of this document is automatically generated.
Yeah.
We can add some stuff to that, but it's boilerplate.
Yep. Let's see. Encapsulating sensible and coverage and efficient settlement.
Were you referring to the Google Doc or referring to the...
I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, go ahead and ask a question.
I was just looking at what Manu is deleting here. And it seems like these 2.x items that are called out, we can reshape each of the individual goals into a statement that is along those lines. It's kind of an objective outcome that we're looking to achieve rather than just the label that's there today, like verifiability, for example, is a goal. I dropped all the goals into the top of this. Can we just sort of whack all of the 2.1 through 2.m and start pulling back these goals that we've already stated in our executive summary?
We could. So the only reason I didn't delete that stuff at the bottom yet was because there might be things that we had outlined in our goals that are not listed below. Like, for example, there's 2.3 says supports a wide spectrum of security and privacy needs, and we don't really talk about security and privacy. We say privacy enhancing. So I left it in there to make sure that we were, you know, we also mentioned something about security in here. We have, you know, verifiability. We talk about privacy enhancing and recipient controlled. And so the question to the group is, do we feel that that's enough and we can just delete 2.3 outright because we cover it?
2.3 is a good example of one to keep, actually. I kind of like that one.
Right. So you know, it's really this is why it might be good for people to be a little less shy about hacking the document up and just go for it, and suggest things, and you know, someone will go through and go ahead and accept the things in that seems like it fits into the narrative, and for things that don't, it'll be kept as a suggestion, and we can discuss it on the call next week. So especially Matt and you know, Eric, don't be shy about deleting stuff out of here or moving it around. nothing in here is sacred, I don't think. The only thing that I think we should not do is remove Section 1, where it says that we're building this on web, you know, we're, the architecture
sure.
we're talking about is grounded in web principles. I think everything else is up for debate and deletion. Any thoughts from the group?
Yeah, so like, I was just wondering, I wanted to make sure that we're all comfortable with just saying credentials. I mean, just like in 2 point, you know, in the table of contents, you know, are we comfortable using the word credential throughout the document, you know, and does everybody know what we mean when we say that? Are we talking about the spec? Are we talking about the document? Are we, what are, you know, so I think our glossary needs to be tied into this to a certain extent.
Yep. We can definitely do that. So yeah, don't worry about it. We can definitely tie the glossary in, and we should. But we should try to stay away from too many specific terms.
You had in the original document in the table of contents, you know, desirable properties of a web payments architecture. So are we calling it a digital credential architecture? You know, I can start to type that stuff in there, but I don't want it. It's not the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, we can. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about the terminology right now. But I mean, since you are working on the glossary document and this document, if you see a place where you can align it, then definitely do. The only suggestion I'd make is that the less new terms we create, the better off we're going to be. And the closer we stay to the Oxford English or, you know, Webster English Dictionary definition of the word, the better off we are. So don't try and, you know, invent any new terms if we can get away with using something that's in the dictionary.
Sorry, can I interrupt? I have fallen off the scribe horse just because this has become very fast back and forth.
Sure, no problem.
How much do we want to be capturing this conversation, or is it just coming to consensus, and then we'll capture conclusions?
Well, you want to capture as much as you can, but it's fine if we summarize at the end. So, you know, if it's completely up to the scribe, you know. So if you hear something that seems like it would be important for us to look back and understand why we made a particular decision, scribe that. But if it's just a whole bunch of back and forth on what we do with a particular sentence, that's not as important to scribe. Sorry, it's not a very specific answer, but, you know, describing is – yes.
So on the topic of the term credential, I do think it's sort of like using the term efficiency. It means too many things to too many people. So we ought to figure out how to indicate a context when we're referring to a credential, whether it's, you know, a professional credential, a payment credential, an ownership credential. There's sort of an adjective that should be there that sort of puts some scope around that word. And this document kind of addresses all of that, but I liked in the executive summary where we introduced this idea of examples, it's probably not the full suite of potential credentials that might exist, but they help people kind of get their head around what we're talking about.
So you're saying in the open credentials executive summary, that bit at the top where we talk about education credentials and workplace credentials and civil society credentials, that bit?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying we should probably also have that in the vision?
I think that should be in the vision. We have a little bit of it. I dropped the in the abstract section, sort of copied in a work that we did elsewhere in both the executive summary and charter. And it kind of pulls that in, and maybe that's enough to kind of set the framework of what a credential is in our context here.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere I think that list of education, workplace, civil society should exist in this vision document because the material thing, at least for Pearson in this group, is that we're getting the professional credentials. We're looking for the things that help people pursue a job, right, or get a better job, find a job, right?
Yep. Yep. So how about this? Someone previously said, you know, does the executive summary go away? And that was raised. I guess in this case, it could be that the vision document is kind of an elaboration on the executive summary. So we are going, you know, we move the every bit of the executive summary gets moved into the vision document. We talk about what a credential is. We talk about the types of credentials that there are, and then we elaborate kind of on the goals and kind of restate them as our vision for credentials. And then the executive summary kind of stays as is. It's a one pager, quick read. If people want to know a bit more, they can go into the vision document and find a little bit more. But even then, the vision document should be like two pages at most. It's not meant to be this expansive thing, right? It's not a manifesto. It's just, you know, this is what when we're done, this is what we would like the world to look like. Thoughts on doing that, where the vision becomes kind of an elaboration on the executive summary?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, and that's why I asked the question whether we should, it eventually would be supplant the executive summary, but I think there's the need for redundancy is okay, and I think I agree with that method. But I did want to get back to the comment that was made earlier, and I also would like to say a side note. I'm still trying to get, I know Manu's voice pretty distinctly, I know Brian's voice pretty distinctly, I know Nate, but I don't know everybody else's, so if you could just announce who you are, you know, just briefly, I would appreciate it. This is Eric speaking. So, but my point about, I wanted to make about credentials, I think the list of all the types of things that credentials could represent is almost infinite. So we have to be careful that we don't end up trying to put too many adjectives in front, and we do need to come up with one collective term, to be able to do that.
This is John. I have a suggestion about that. So I think it's a really good idea somewhere and early to enumerate a whole bunch of interesting credentials once, and then maybe say, we need to, it's sort of like the super class of them is something like domain specific credentials or something that has that's a generic adjective that says, you know, we're going to call all of these in lump something, and I'm suggesting domain specific, but maybe somebody has a better term.
Yeah,
that I've been using in the glossary the term digital credential. Because I'm trying, in my purview is that these are different than what we would consider a paper credential, and these are electronic in nature, and they are made up, you know, basically of a data set, you know, formatted in JSON-LD, you know, da 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 da. So keep, you know, that's sort of how this whole thing sort of the neck is connected to the back and keep on going, you know. What you put inside them, and to a certain extent, I would think from a W3C perspective, should be as broad as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I plus one for digital credential. I was going to suggest we go one step further and just say credential. But I, you know, your point, Eric, is well taken, meaning that, you know, if we say credential, people might just think that we're doing something with physical credentials, paper-based credentials, and I don't think that's the intent here. I agree with digital credential being that term.
So this is John again. Let me make one other suggestion. I'm not sure we got here, but looking again at the vision document, things that are like payment schemes and refer to settlements are scope narrowing terms, and they lead one to believe, this standard isn't for me because I'm interested, like the Pearson folks there, in secure exchange and management of things like electronic transcripts and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. So don't pay too much attention to those, the ones there. They're just kind of exemplary of what the other group did. We do have, there's a life cycle here that I feel it, we point out. Let me try and find it. I mean, the life cycle is basically issuing management, you know, issuing of a credential, storage and management of a credential, and then consumption of a credential. You know, so you get using your credential and showing it to somebody else. And then the last little bit that we've kind of been playing around with was, you know, revocation, which could potentially also go into the management bucket.
That's a very important part of our thinking
Yeah.
too.
Right,
Yeah.
right.
For sure.
So reflecting that in the vision document, saying that, you know, once we're done, we expect this ecosystem to be worldwide. We expect anybody to be able to issue a credential, store it somewhere, and manage it, including revocation, and then pass it on to another organization that's going to consume it, right? That's the ecosystem we want to create, and we want to make sure that there can be as many issuers as possible, as many storage mechanisms as possible, and as many consumers of these credentials as possible. They're all pluggable. We're creating a level playing field here, and that's effectively the gist of our vision. That's what we're trying to create, and so then we can talk about, you know, in order to do that, you have to make sure that there are standards in place to make sure that there's interoperability between an issuer and a storage system. There's interoperability. There has to be the ability to easily request a credential for a credential consumer to request a credential, and that's where we get into kind of parallels with efficient settlement. So, you know, in payments, settlement is moving a piece of value from one location to another. You could view that as moving a credential from an issuer to a storage system, or from a storage system to a credential consumer. That's kind of the settlement bucket. But I agree that that's, you know, for someone that's not deeply steeped in payments, that makes, you know, calling it settlement makes no sense whatsoever.
By the way, that was an excellent summary. I don't envy Brian's job today, because if he had captured that, I think we would be just about there. That was really good.
Okay, well, so you know, what I'm hearing is that these other two dot whatevers are creating more confusion than they're actually helping. So maybe I'll volunteer to make a pass and convert each one of those items into credential speak, and delete all the payment stuff out of here, because that's, it sounds like it's creating too much of a problem.
Well, I guess where I was hoping is that there were equivalencies, right? So
There
at what point, you know,
are.
is there an equivalency of a generality about our topic that both are, that need to be described? That's what I was looking for. What's the general outline? What's the template look like that we need to do?
Yeah. So, I mean, I could go through it really quickly. Like, you know, for section 2.1, the payment stuff says provides pays and payers unencumbered knowledge and choice in how to undertake payments. This is about choice, right? So you should be able to choose who issues credentials to you, where you store those credentials, and who can consume those credentials, right? So choice is a, we want to enable choice among everyone in the ecosystem, issuers, consumers, and credential consumers and credential recipients. 2.2 is about improving the user experience. So clearly, it's very difficult to exchange digital credentials on the web today, or just on, you know, online or through a mobile experience. We want to make that a user experience better. 2.3 says, you know, we support a wide spectrum of security and privacy needs. Clearly, credentials require a very strong set of security mechanisms if they're high-stakes credentials, and we care a lot about privacy. The system, the credential should be recipient controlled. You should be in control of your credentials. 2.4 is encapsulates existing payment schemes and enables new schemes. I don't think that has an equivalent. I don't think that there's a dominant way that people exchange digital credentials online today, unless anybody else knows of one. So we don't have the same kind of legacy problem that I feel that the payments industry has. The only legacy, you know, issue that the credential space has is the, you know, paper-based transmission. And you could say that, you know, DocuSign and the PDF-based exchange is a big part of the ecosystem. But the question is, you know, do we want to try and support those types of credentials in the ecosystem we're talking about, or do we just say that's a done thing? You know, people are, have already put in place systems that accept those digitally signed, the PDF type credentials, and we don't need to do anything around that. 2.5, encouraging efficient settlement, is just about moving credentials easily from point A to point B. Legal and regulatory stuff, you know, clearly we have legal and regulatory stuff that we need to pay attention to, COPPA and, you know, even the HL7 stuff for medical. So there are legal and regulatory obligations that we have to make sure that the system pays attention to. Enabling monetization, I think, is important. I think, you know, everyone's got a business, many of the organizations that are going to be participating in this work have businesses around credentials. So we want to help monetize credentials on the web. And then 2A, bridging distributed value networks, that really has to do with just making it so that these things are interoperable. So we've got many types of credentials in the world, many people issuing them, and what we're trying to do is build an architecture where all those credentials can move freely from issuer to recipient to consumer. So that was what I had in mind when we included this stuff, is that converting what was there into kind of credential speak. Hopefully that made sense. Did that make sense?
That helped a lot. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll go through the document and try to just make those changes so that they're in there. Okay. Anything else on the vision document? I guess, you know, Eric, Matt, and I are going to hack on it pretty aggressively over the next week and see where we get. Is that the plan?
Yeah, and I'm almost trying to think of the cart and the horse situation where the glossary almost needs to get done first, but I think we'll just do our best to try to.
Yeah, we'll iterate. The same thing happened in the payments group. We had to go back and forth a couple of times, and then everything kind of settled out after 2 or 3 weeks. I expect the same to happen here.
All right, we're right on the hour there. I think that was productive.
Okay, great. Good. All right. So thanks, everyone, for the call.
I'm sorry. So for the team that's working on this, I'm just putting comments in the side when I think there's room for conversation. Feel free to reply. Like, for example, in 2.7, you know, Manu said enables monetization. I'm suggesting maybe it's the word commercialization, because not everybody's going to make money, but we want to make sure that it's a commercial level system that could be exchanged even from nonprofit to nonprofit. Still is it's a commercial implementation of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. those are just words I think we will debate and we'll figure out. Unless you feel that there's specific, unless you all feel canonization isn't.
I think that's, you know, it's up for debate. I mean, you know, I think some people will feel more strongly about monetization than other people will. And I think some, you know, I mean, for example, a nonprofit may say, listen, you know, this is not about making money off of these credentials. It's about ensuring that people have pathways to become, you know, to contribute to society. So, and I would imagine that in the end we end up putting both in. You know, the system should not preclude anyone from monetizing the content, nor should it mean that everything has to be monetized in the system. So, I expect us to have more of those types of discussions over the next couple of weeks and months.
Cool.
Okay. Awesome. thanks everyone for the call. We'll work on the vision document this week, and then circle back around during the call next week. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Thank you. All right. Bye.